Welcome to PR360, where every week the brightest minds in public relations, communications, and media discuss the topics and trends you need to know about. PR360 was produced in partnership with Global Results Communications. Now here's your host, Todd Perry.
Dominique Turner is a strategic communications and public relations professional currently working for Bloomreach, an AI-powered e-commerce platform. She also serves as the marketing director for Ballet and Books, a nonprofit organization striving to reduce the literacy gap through the hybrid storytelling of dance and reading. She graduated from Cornell University and outside of work enjoys theater, podcasting, and hitting as many restaurants in New York as humanly possible. Welcome to the show, Dominique. Is there anything I missed?
No, that's great. I love hearing somebody else read my bio. I don't think that's ever happened to me before. I love that.
Kind of cool. You've made it in life, you know?
Ah, I'll tell my mom after this.
I had to spend a couple minutes editing it, getting it perfect, so you just sounded amazing. Real quick, so you try to hit as many restaurants in New York City as possible. What's your favorite one to hit up?
Well, actually, I think I have a couple, but my favorite always is Pastiche in Meatpacking District. They just opened one in DC. They opened one in Miami. But it's more about the ambiance. The food is great, but the ambiance is there. Just kind of feels like a bit of old New York. The restaurant's been there since like the 70s, but I never have a bad meal. And I never have a bad time. So that is always my recommendation to everyone, to hit Pastiche.
Very good. I had one place I went through. I've only been to New York like three times, but the one place I went to was called Roberta's in Brooklyn. And
yeah.
And they grow their own toppings for the pizza, like right there, and then they make it. It's like really fresh. Yep. I thought that was a fantastic place to eat. I really like that.
Yeah, and I mean, pizza's hard in New York, so when you find a good place, you gotta bookmark it, save that.
Yeah. So on today's show, I'm happy to have someone who's somewhat of a recent graduate. You finished Cornell University in 2020. Great year, 2020, to go out of school on. And so you have a unique perspective on PR and the comms industry that, you know, some our guests tend to be a little bit older. So as someone who graduated from Cornell just 4 years ago, your career path is obviously a bit different from, you know, a Gen Xer like me. How did you go from school to getting a job in PR? And I guess I'm asking you this so the younger people listening who want to get into PR will have some a good path forward.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll back up a little bit. When I was in college, I was a policy major. So I was kind of always working with material, not only just about like politics and governmental laws and policy, but also how to message them and what that looked like to actually have incremental and actualized change within different cities and governments, etc. So I was always kind of interested in the messaging part. And we were also writing a bunch in my policy classes. So when I was about 19, I think it was like one of my first internships, I worked for this strategic communications company called Purple Strategies. They're based in Alexandria, Virginia. And I just learned so much. The premise of it was basically applying the same strategies that political consultants would use for campaigns, but instead applying that to a corporate environment and corporate clients. And so that was really my first kind of look into what a strategic communications professional does. And I was staffed on about three different projects that year, all very different. And I just learned so much in the course of 10 weeks. And I was like, wait, I think I really like PR and communications. I think this is where my brain really works well. And I just got it really quickly, to be honest. And so when I went for my next internship, I wanted to try something different. I ended up working at Viacom that summer, and that was more totally on the media side of things, so a bit different. But again, I kind of felt myself being pulled back to the comms and strategic communications, I guess, skills that I had built the summer before. So when I was applying for jobs in 2019, I was applying to every agency under the sun. mostly based in New York City. And by the time that we were sent home, because there was this thing called COVID-19, I had basically gotten emails from every job I had applied to saying, hey, we're not hiring anymore, all across media. But the one job that said, hey, we want to hire you, can you start in July, was a strategic communications firm based in New York that was really around financial communications and working with a range of financially based clients. So I was like, yeah, this is, honest, to be honest with you guys, this is the only job I have. So yeah, I'm taking it. Like, people are losing jobs. A lot of my friends weren't even hired until the fall after the pandemic started. So I was kind of fast and furious with it in July 2020, and I've been doing this ever since.
Wow, that's fantastic. So you say, I guess, that the internship really kind of meant everything, right?
Yeah.
It's funny, I started as an intern with a Viacom company when I was just coming out of college. It was Viacom-owned CBS Radio, or Infinity Broadcasting. It was Viacom-owned Infinity Broadcasting, which then CBS Radio, whatever. But that's how I started as well. And that's what I would... It's good to know that career path is still valid, because an internship is one thing that it's kind of somewhat easy to get an internship. You know, everybody wants free help, and that gets you a foot in the door versus just right. Cold sending out resumes with no experience. So what advice, besides getting an internship, would you give to a young person that's looking to get into PR or the comms world?
I would say understand that PR can take on a lot of different, I guess, looks in a lot of different companies. So even if it's not necessarily for, if you're looking for a job and you're trying to find a PR role in it, sometimes it's not going to be called a communications or PR role, right? Mm. Sometimes those skills, whether they be writing, whether they're literally just understanding people and understanding what makes sense for someone to say, or what makes sense for a company to message, that's a lot of PR too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times applying for a PR position can be really hard, but a lot of those hard skills can be learned in a similar type job. So whether that be, you know, if you're working for a media company and you're, I was working kind of like in sales and revenue, a lot of those skills that I was when I was at Viacom, I used in my PR job today. And really that just ends up being paying attention and understanding how companies want to be positioned. And that's a lot of what you're doing as a PR professional. So maybe don't get bogged down and being like, I need to find this exact role. If you can't, it's okay. Maybe see how you can pivot from a normal, maybe like sales job, or even something that might be a little bit more formulaic.
Okay. And what benefits do you think that younger people have to offer in the world of PR when you're coming in, that are, you know, obviously younger people tend to be a breath of fresh air and have new ideas. What specific benefits do you think somebody in your age group is bringing to the PR world?
I mean, obviously in fresh perspective, right? I honestly think my generation, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, is chronically online. So even though we're not thumbing through pages of the New York Times or scrolling every article, we are so up to date on what's happening and what's fresh and what matters to certain audiences. And so that's one, is that we're always kind of bringing that perspective and trying to tie that into current events. I think on the other side of things, we can definitely be more objective. I think that in a way we care a bit less, or we're willing to take those chances, and we're not so bogged down by all the details. I think we really are good at not missing the forest for the trees.
Got it. Great answer. You know, I think it's good to have young people in the PR world so they can look at TikTok so I don't have to.
I think that's I'll be like, Exactly. I think I tell a lot of people at my job now, like, oh, I saw that like 3 weeks ago. And they're like, what side of TikTok are you on?
So recently you attended Morning Brew's Marketer's Guide to AI. Personally, I love the Morning Brew. I think every morning I read the newsletter. It keeps me up to date on things, and it saves me from having to go to Twitter for news. You know, it or X, I guess. So, what can you report back to the PR360 audience about Morning Brew's Marketer's Guide to AI?
Yeah, it was a really awesome opportunity that we were able to secure for our CMO to talk there. And I think one thing that we noticed was that every marketer that was there was scared, terrified of AI, which I was surprised by, I think, because not only is the company that I work for such a forward thinker in terms of AI, and AI has been the foundation of our company almost since inception. So I've never been afraid of it. And especially as a PR person, I kind of just see it as something that helps me get things done a bit quicker and makes sometimes my job 1,000 times easier. So I was very surprised to hear people just be terrified of it. But I think one thing I learned, and this is a little bit less PR, more marketing, but just kind of using AI as a way to center your customer, if you're a brand or a retailer, or just really focusing in on how AI can make a customer experience more personal, because at the end of the day, that's really what people are looking for. And they want that human interaction. They want that really personalized experience. But it's been really hard from, if you're in tech or even if you're in retail or like working for a brand that serves consumers, it's really hard to create that human experience with the technology that we have now. But with AI, that human experience can be more, can be like a mirror, and I think it can be really helpful. So that's something I learned that I thought was really interesting, and that a lot of the awesome speakers that were there were trying to hone in, like really use this as something that you can take advantage of, not as something to like be afraid and it's going to take my job. Oh my gosh. Like, no, it's going to help you.
What are some ways, I don't know if they did any demonstrations, but what are some ways that AI can make retail more personal for people?
Yeah, they didn't do any demonstrations, but it can be as simple as if you're looking online, let's say for a dress shirt, and you know, you're searching, you're not finding what you want. Like that company, that brand that you trust is not giving you exactly what you want. You're not seeing the types, your size even. You're searching for stuff and it's not giving you results. AI can completely not even just like change that entire experience by being like, hey, Todd knows I know Todd's sizing. I know what Todd likes because, you know, I've been trying to understand Todd as a consumer and like as a customer. But if the AI sees that you're having a hard time trying to find what you want, you're adding things to your cart and kind of interject into that customer experience, like, hey, what's up? Like, what are you looking for? How can we help you?
Got it. That's cool. You know, that's not scary. That's not something taking over the world. My only thing is, I will say, I'm not totally negative on AI, but I think, obviously, I think AI is like going to cure cancer one day. It's going to do all these great things. There's also going to be some disruption. I just have a hard time buying it when people are like, oh, it'll be fine. I see it a lot as when you go to the supermarket and you have the checkout stand, and then right next to the checkout stand, you have the self-checkout. And if I'm working in the checkout and I see there's a safe checkout, I'm like, eventually, I'm not going to have a job. Right. And as someone who writes for a living, I see the computer does the writing much more affordable than me. And I get a little freaked out. So, you know, I might be going to bartending school at some point too. to find another job when they come for the writers, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, though, because I feel as a PR professional, I mean, I'm not afraid of technology because I think that I've probably used AI more often than I even know. But I will say that I have used it to transcribe interviews that I've done with, whether it be with a reporter, whether it be with like one of my own execs. And I'm able to search for keywords and find out where in the conversation I want to highlight. I've also used it for the ideation process. Like every person who writes regularly or has to come up with content regularly knows that it's sometimes just hard to put the first sentence down or understand the title that you want to focus on. So I think that it's definitely a helper. I don't think it'll take over our job. I've had AI spit out things and I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. Like now I'm going to go in and edit it. So I think taking it in that context, it feels much more palatable.
So you've been a co-host on the Red Receipts podcast for the last 2 years. What are the big things that you've learned about the medium? And also explain a little bit about what your show's about.
Sure. So I started the show with my best friend. It was still kind of COVID times. And he's been my best friend since I was like 15. So we've been friends for a bit. And we just always have like great conversations. I kind of have hot takes about culture and music and just social things going on, politics, sports, and he would too. So we were like, we should just hop on the mic and see if we have chemistry there as well. And we just started to really have fun with it at first. And then we really started to hone in and get better editing, as I'm sure you know, it's not easy, and really start to figure out what our podcast brand was. So to your question, I think that's been the hardest part, is just how to cut through all the podcast noise and figure out what makes our podcast different. And I do think that as professionals kind of moving through not only just our young adult lives, but also trying to navigate a lot of different professional and social environment, we kind of bring a very different perspective to that experience. So that's kind of what our podcast is about. We talk about a lot of things going on, pop culture events, current events. It's very fun. Please tune in if you're interested.
What's the most scorching, flaming hot take you've had of recent on the show?
Oh my gosh. I recently mentioned that I hated brunch. I really don't like it. I know. I don't like the idea of it. I like to go out in the evening and have a nice drink. I hate like waking up at 11 a.m. on a Saturday and then having to be somewhere at 1 p.m. and then we're here for 4 hours and the food's not good and the drinks are fine. Like everything just feels so mediocre to me at brunch. So that is my hot take.
See, I really enjoy the post-brunch nap. That's what I like, you know, have some mimosas in the morning and then come out and then me and my wife will just like conk out till like 3:30, you know, as long as you've, if you've got nothing to do that day. Also, I have, here's a hot take. This is my new diet idea. And I call it the late lunch, where instead of having lunch and having dinner, you know, that's a whole lot of calories. Who knows how many calories, you know, two meals can be. I have one really big lunch later in the day. So at like 2 o'clock, I eat a massive burrito. And then...
Oh!
And then when dinner comes around, me and my wife, you know, we're like, do you want to eat? And it's also like, who's least hungry? Like, we have a battle of it. It's like, are you hungry? Oh, God, no, I could not eat. Oh, my... I could not... Oh, no, you're not hungry. I'm really not hungry. And we go... that whole discussion, and then maybe by 8 o'clock at night, I get a little hungry, but then I'm just like too lazy. So I figure like you could be full, enjoy that big meal, and then and you actually lose weight doing that. I'm sure it's completely not healthy, but that's my flaming hot take of the week.
I think I'm gonna try that this weekend, and I'll circle back, and maybe I would have lost some weight. We'll see what happens.
the joy of it is when you have that one meal you can focus on, you really want to go hard and have something you really like that's good. And you don't feel guilty about it because you're only having one meal that day.
It basically, it's like it never even happened. It's all an imagination.
So, well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Dominique. You've been a real pleasure to speak with. How can people follow up with you? What's the call to action? How do they find Red Receipts?
Thank you.
Let us know.
Yeah. So our podcast, Red Receipts, is available on all streaming platforms. You can find it on Instagram at Red Receipts Pod. You can find me, Dominique. It's spelled, I think I've had that Instagram for a while, but it's at DOMANEEEKKK, which is very funny. And LinkedIn as well. Feel free to add me.
Great. Well, again, pleasure speaking with you, and best of luck as a young person in the PR business on having a great, vibrant, awesome, long, and fruitful career.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Todd. Really appreciate you having me on.
Thank you.
PR 360 was produced by Todd Perry in partnership with Global Results Communications. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review wherever you get podcasts. Follow GRC on all socials at Global Results. Follow Todd on Twitter at Todd A. Perry. That's Todd with one D. Talk to you next week.